Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. Our guest this week, as we head into a new year, a new decade, we have Rachel Barbeau. Rachel is a college football insider. She is one of the best in the business. She's also the founder of Changing the Narrative, and we're going to hear her talk about it. It's an awesome mission. And what Rachel has done is she's made a very courageous decision after this college football season ends to leave what is a very successful and long career that she's worked very hard for. And she wants to focus her time and her energy on her mission. So what she's doing is really answering God's call, which isn't ever the easiest thing
to do. No, it's definitely not always
right?
the easiest
when
thing
you're
ever.
Being yeah. asked or called to walk away from what you've worked so hard for and what you've to put aside what you've accomplished and focus on something new and focus on what God has called you to do, that could be a difficult thing. And I know as the new year is upon us and is approaching and a new decade and we're getting in, man, I can't believe we're getting
a new decade, bro. 2020.
I love the numbers.
So I've known
awesome.
You.
Speak yes.
to me.
We've been in 9 years. I met you in 2010. December 6, 2010 was our first date. So that means we spent a whole decade together.
Yes.
Wow.
How about
Woo-hoo.
That, right?
How about
a whole,
it?
A whole decade. So,
Rem, I'm proud of you. That's
yes,
good.
Right.
That's
right.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
A lot of prayer.
You and Dee, maybe a couple more decades.
Oh, we have a few
right?
more decades. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
It's a beautiful thing.
26 this year.
Wow.
And December 18th.
That's amazing.
December 8th,
happy anniversary.
Oh, that's
came
amazing.
Up. Happy anniversary.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I know a lot of us have New Year's resolutions, right? We all. Everybody puts their list together. Most, I actually don't, but I know a lot of people do. And maybe I should.
They Rob have and I are horrible. Right? We have no lists.
Yeah, the things that you want to do, right?
Yes.
Things that you want to accomplish. And we look at like a new year oftentimes as a fresh start, a new
yes.
beginning. It's my opportunity. Okay, the past is behind me. I'm going
to
start new.
Something's about and, to click now, yeah.
Like what Rachel's doing, there's really no fresher start
no.
or newer
yeah.
beginning than answering God's call to serve and answering God's call to ministry. But many of us in our New Year's resolutions, in our lists, we center those lists and those goals and what you want to accomplish in the new year on improving our lives, on maybe getting in the gym, losing weight, becoming healthier, mm-hmm. Eating better, getting a better job, making more money, saving more money. But all this stuff, it's a lot of it, it's personal.
Yeah, sure.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting to improve our lives, and there's nothing wrong with any kind of self-improvement or career improvement.
That's right.
But really what I like to do is encourage myself, challenge myself, challenge everyone who is making a resolution and put something, an idea together of what you're going to do in 2020 that's going to help other people.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
just you.
Enough.
Like,
I like it. Yeah.
One resolution and follow through with it.
Yeah.
What are we doing to help someone else? All the stuff that we do for ourselves, it's great. Yeah, get in the gym.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. No, that's important, right? If we don't take care of our,
if
we don't take care of ourselves, we don't have anything to give
yeah.
out. Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, you know, Rob, it's such a great thought that you just said. And I think a lot of people do start to think about those things and then get overwhelmed because
yeah.
so, many times the issue becomes so big. And so I always try to encourage people, you know, three things that I ask is, you know, what's in your hand? What are you really good at? What's in your heart? What are you passionate about?
Yeah.
And then what's in your world? Are there people that where those two things collide around you? Like, you don't have to go to Tanzania, which is
yeah.
awesome. If that's where you're called to go,
yeah.
to start implementing that. So,
sure.
like, if you like to cook, if that's something, I love to cook. Remy loves to cook.
Love
if you
to
love
cook.
To cook
yeah.
and there's some people in your neighborhood who you want to get to know who maybe like to cook, maybe once a month, start to say, can you guys come over? We'll share recipes. Can you teach me how to cook Egyptian? I'll teach you how to cook, you know, share favor. It doesn't need to be everything. It's one bite at a time. What's in your heart? What's in your hand? Yeah. What's in your world? Yeah. And if you can just start with that, because if not, we do this. I know I should probably help the homeless. This is what we end up doing. I know I should probably help the homeless. It's not really birthed in our heart. It's birthed out of
an obligation, a duty,
and then
a responsibility.
That concept of, oh my gosh, there's 6,000 homeless people in my city. Yeah. How in the world do I do that? Yeah. It becomes too big. Yeah. All right, if you like to cook and you want to help the homeless, hey, maybe once a month you ask two or three of your friends to make some peanut butter jelly sandwiches and you go out. It's just start little and then go big.
I like it. I this is my idea. This is what I do. I don't wait till Christmas or the New Year's, but this is what I do. Like if I am on, let's say Facebook or social media, and then I see a post about someone in need, I act.
Yeah, that's great.
So I don't think about it because your brain is not designed to do these
things. She doesn't even tell me.
I don't tell anybody.
She does it. Then I get the PayPal PayPal email that says you just gave X amount of money to something. I'm like,
because I'm a believer.
Remy did it again. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm a believer.
I love it.
I'm
never going to tell you no.
Yeah, but that's right.
I love that.
I really think this is how God helps people. He helps people in every way, shape, and form.
Yes.
So if he uses Facebook to tell me to reach out to that person I've never met in my life, but then they connected with someone else and that person is saying, we need to do this for this person. How dare I say no? You know, I have a lot, you know.
I feel the moment it touches the heart, you have
to
do it.
Beautiful. Okay, let me give you a shout out in that, because that actually lines up with what I'm talking about. That is what your heart connects to.
Right.
That's what's in your heart.
Yeah.
What's in your hand is that God has provided you guys financially to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And then that Facebook moment was in your world.
Yeah.
Those things line up perfectly. Yeah. So for someone else to say, all right, well, Remy does it this way, I have to do it this way.
No,
is that wrong? Right? Do you see what
that's? It's my way.
That becomes formulas,
and that's
you're doing that because you get the Holy Spirit is stirring you in that moment.
Yeah, and I'm not shouting myself out.
No.
Like,
I think it's a good example
to
be honest.
I do it. That's how I do things. I'm such a believer in that. God speaks to me in the craziest ways, and I think he does to everybody else, but we just ignore him. So he speaks to me through everything, and when I see it in front of me, and if I ignore it, I actually feel the Holy Spirit tugging on me and say, what are you doing?
You feel convicted.
What are you doing? Like, it's so easy to scroll up.
Yeah.
It's so easy to
right?
just be, up, switch, let's go. It's not for me. But then you feel that tug and you feel like, whoa, that I was supposed to help.
Yes.
Even something small, you're supposed to help. But if you don't help, you missed an opportunity of being an angel to someone else.
Yeah. I've said this so often.
Yeah.
That sometimes it's not about giving.
No.
It's giving of your time.
It really has nothing to do with money at all.
Giving of your time. Because I feel like because my time is so limited, that the hardest thing I have to do, it's so much easier.
It's the most valuable thing to you.
It's way easier for me. Now, for Remy, because she has a little bit more time than I do, so she can do that, right? That's the easy way out.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's the easy way out. Okay, here, I'm just going to send $25, $50,
$100. Right, for you.
Whatever. For me
personally. For you personally,
right?
Exactly.
So, like,
right.
That's you, but me personally, giving money is easy.
Yes.
Because I don't have time to give. And finding the time to give becomes more valuable because there are people that I can impact in a positive manner if I could sit down and find time. I'll give you one quick example. Someone sent me, I try and answer, and I probably, this is to a fault, but I try and answer every single message that I get that's faith-related.
Yeah.
If you reach out to me asking me if the Eagles are going to sign somebody, I'm not getting back to you. You can listen to me talk sports on the radio, 97.5 The Fanatic, weekends and other times and whatever. But if you reach out to me with some kind of challenging, you're being challenged in your walk or I always try to reach back out and get back. And there is one particular person who reached out to me with a dilemma maybe 2 months ago. And I found time yesterday to begin my response.
Wow.
It doesn't even, I didn't even get into the whole thing yet.
Yeah.
I just was able to read it, digest it, and then put forth a question.
Yes.
And now it begins the conversation. But for me, that was more difficult. If he asked me for $10, I could have been.
Totally.
But it was listening to where he is in his journey, what his relationship status is.
Yes.
And how, because he's listened to me, he's watched me, he's seen us interact, and he wants to have what I have, and he wants to know more. And I'm trying to answer his questions and guide him the right way. So I take that very seriously.
Absolutely. It's the Peter and John moment where they're going to the temple, right, to engage with God and pray and celebrate. And, you know, the lame man there asked him for money. And it's not that they probably couldn't have found money for him. It's not that the church was poor at that moment. They just said, look, the thing that you need the most is the thing that I have inside of me. Right. It's in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And that, Rob, is we have to find those moments.
Yes.
What is the whole, what, where does the opportunity that's in front of me line up with the Holy Spirit's gifting inside of me?
Yes.
If those, when those two things line up, that's why if we just kind of say, you know, we tend to, we can make what we do better than what someone else does, you know? So that's why we were saying, though, I'm really glad that you differentiated for, you were saying for you, time is more Remy is financial, both are needed, right? So we don't diminish anything.
Yeah.
We just find that where the opportunity lines up with the God gifting inside of each person. And we make that about a life of worship, not a life of obligation.
Mm.
I'm not obligated to give. Now, as a Christian, the Bible says give and it shall be given, right? There is a responsibility for social interaction and elevation of our community. But even, I don't do it out of obligation. This is a life of worship. I'm worshiping. I want to make sure that my interaction with people is giving God glory.
And you know what, though? And there's, this has nothing to do with money, but there is people that just want you to listen to them.
Correct.
You know? Oh, so true. You do a great job of that.
Yeah, because I feel like it's written on my forehead. Speak to me about your relationship problems, which is cool.
Well, it must be because we have such a great relationship.
It must be.
Is that what it is?
But it's just, I don't know. Like, people see my face and I just met them. They're like, so this happened. And I'm like, they speak to me about their relationship with their husbands. Like, it feels so awkward, but you know what? Fine. I'm listening. So I end up listening and I give them advice. As best as I can, but that's actually part of being a giver and a helper.
Absolutely,
because a lot of people are hurting, but they don't have anyone to listen to them.
Absolutely, right.
And it actually takes a lot of energy to listen to people.
We live in an extremely lonely society.
Loneliness
is leading to what Rachel does.
Correct.
You know, with changing the narrative and the suicide rate and the mental illness. And
so
I want to ask you this question, Kyle, because Rachel, what she's doing is I think it's so courageous.
I agree.
I didn't have the courage to do this. And when I came to you way back 3 years ago and said, man, I really want to go into a life of ministry, but I have this career and I have this job and I have this responsibility and I have a house and a mortgage and kids and all that stuff. Do I put aside my entire career? Do I do that? And you told me, no, take Jesus to your marketplace.
Thank you very much.
but you were able to tell me that because that, and that worked for me.
Yeah, because
for everyone, how do we know?
I think that, look, both are courageous.
Yeah.
It takes courage on both sides of this. It takes courage to follow after the call of God in your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rob, the reason I could say that to you is because I was just listening to you. I was listening to what God was, you were just pouring out what God was saying, and the only filter you had for that was leaving my job and going out into the ministry.
Yeah.
Has been termed ministry instead of realizing, no, there's ministry in the marketplace.
Yeah, which I didn't realize until you.
So for both you and Rachel, both of those are courageous. Both of those are following the call of God. You just have to know what God has called you to do.
Right.
And that takes a journey, and it's usually not an overnight moment. You know, for Rachel, she says, you know, she was trying to do both for a while and realized.
Yeah.
That realized in the midst of it that she couldn't do both well, and God made it clear which one that she should do.
It's challenging to do both.
No, it is.
And
Rob, what I will say is this, there's seasons of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's seasons. So who knows, you know, if doing this both for you is going to be a forever moment.
Mm.
Ministry is always a forever moment. Ministry is always a forever moment because that's who we're created to be. But not necessarily the way that culture has defined ministry or church culture has defined ministry. So I do want to give a shout out to Rachel because I'm real, as we head into 2020, this concept of changing the narrative is essential.
I love it.
We need to change the narrative in us. So often, you know, we look at our last year and say, how do I need to get better and what do I need to change? Rather than being able to say, you know what? My last year is over. Who has God made me to be in 2020? Right. How do I change that narrative? My past doesn't define me. I'm not defined by what was done to me or by me. I'm only defined by what was done for me on the cross of Calvary. So how does that, how do I look and being able to start changing the narrative on mental health? I am thankful she said that counseling and Jesus are not opposites.
I love
God uses doctors. God uses counselors.
Yes. Yeah.
There's wisdom out there.
Yes.
Look, without Jesus, there's no healing. Without Jesus, there's no healing.
No.
But look, God uses men and wisdom, men and women of faith and power and skill, in that area. Mental health is one of the greatest challenges of this next decade will be the greatest challenge for us to deal with it well. Because here's the deal. You can't medicate it.
No.
We are used to in the medical world. And in our society, when something goes wrong or something, just medicate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even, you know, from every aspect, just medicate it.
Yeah.
And this can't.
That calms it down.
This can't be medicated.
It's
exactly.
It's a Band-Aid. It's a Band-Aid.
Exactly. Right. We're dealing with symptoms. This has to be dealt with the root of who a human being is. And until they understand that they are loved and valued, they are not mistakes. They are not chaos, you know, something that crawled out of the chaos of an evolutionary goop. They are designed and crafted by a God who loves them, who has a purpose for their life, that sees them as beautiful no matter what they come from or who they are. Until we understand that, we'll never find healing.
Amen to that.
Before we get to Rachel's interview up next, I just want to say one more thing about fresh starts and new beginnings. And we talked about the resolutions and the lists and the things that we're doing and how to help other people. If you're looking for a fresh start in your own life and you don't know the Lord and you don't know, if you're listening to this show and you stumbled upon us on 610 ESPN or you're listening to us on 107.5 Alive or you're listening to us on Joy FM or you got the podcast, if you're looking for a fresh start and you think, like, I don't go to church, right? I don't go to church. I've done a lot of bad things in my life. God doesn't love me. Look where I am. I'm abandoned. I've done this. A lot of times I hear from people who tell me, like, I've done so wrong.
Right.
And I tell them, so have I.
Yeah.
So have I.
Get in line.
So did Paul.
Yeah.
And it's never too late. I want you to know it's never too late.
Absolutely.
It's
not.
Never too late for a fresh start in the Lord.
Absolutely.
In Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. And if you're looking for how you can get into a relationship with the Lord, I would encourage you, find yourself listen to these episodes,
yes.
Find yourself a church.
Yep.
that really preaches the Bible. And you want that fresh start. You want that new beginning, not in your career, not in your list, not in your goals, in your own personal life with the Lord. That's about as great as it can be. Up next, we're going to hear from college football insider, Rachel Barbeau. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without your support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies and even better people. So thank you to Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Norristown Hospitality Center, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, and Oliver Heating and Cooling. Our guest this week is a very special woman and friend. Rachel Barbeau is a college football insider. She's a host on SiriusXM. She's done it all in the business, an excellent and accomplished broadcaster, a Heisman Trophy voter, and also a sister in Christ who is making a real difference in the world through her Changing the Narrative mission. You'll hear the passion in our interview. Here's my conversation with Rachel Barbeau. Rachel, Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." What is the importance of that Bible verse to you?
Well, first of all, you just speaking it is like honeycomb to my cells. When you spoke it, I closed my eyes and I could feel the anointing. I could feel my cup that runneth over. I could feel the Holy Spirit over every cell and nerve and sinew and bone in my body. And that's what the word is. It's living, breathing. It is just the cornerstone, the foundation, and everything to my life. And so I've always loved that verse. I've loved it because we are flesh and bone. We are human. We fail. We have foibles, and God knows that. But when we rest upon Him, when we keep our eyes on Him, when we say everything that we do, everything that we have comes from You, that to me, intersects tithing. That intersects how you live your life. That intersects how you treat people. That intersects how you take care of yourself. All of those things. And so for me, that verse is just a cornerstone of my life. And I look back at this amazing career I've had as I am closing the chapter and literally less than 30 days now of, or just right around 30 days of a 17-year sports career, and never set out for it to be decorated, but it has been. There's been a ton of firsts and have made history at different junctures and never set out to do that. But I look back and I just say, thank You, God. And I see His fingerprint over all of it. And I see where I was weary and where He carried me. And so that verse just means everything to me.
You're closing one chapter of your life. And we know when you close one, there's new beginnings, there's new chapters. And part of what you're going on to do is in 2016, you founded Changing the Narrative. So tell us about the mission of that foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. In 2016, I started, I was just audacious enough to believe that I could affect change. And I say to people, I laugh and say this, God made me a do something girl. You know, I'm the person that runs to trouble instead of away. If I see an injustice, if I see something going on, we have this thing, you know, a psychologist that I work with Changing the Narrative says we have this thing called the bystander effect. You know, I teach the anti-bystander effect. I teach to get in where people need you, especially where it's messy, where you get in the ditch and help people. And especially in a dark and broken world where we see human trafficking and kidnapping and crimes and abuse and all sorts of things, God is calling us to stand up and to stand for something, or fall for anything. And so in the summer of 2016, I saw a problem, particularly with how our athletes were being perceived. And it was on the heels of Penn State, Baylor was going on, there was domestic violence, sexual violence, and I just thought, what if we changed the narrative? What if we started making good news, something? How about if these guys started trending for not getting in trouble, but for doing the right thing? And so it started this purpose, passion, platform, you are more than an athlete, and also my own experience of domestic violence, my life of how once I was very fame-hungry, fame-driven, and I met a gentleman named Kevin Turner that played with the Eagles and the Patriots and won the Ed Block Courage Award and ended up climbing Kilimanjaro for him. They made a documentary about it. Mike Ditka narrated it. That's what can happen when it's not about you, which is the greatest lesson that Kevin taught me. It's not about you. You were not born for you. And that's how it started. And then 3 years later, 40 schools, pending opportunities with huge government agencies, professional teams, major Power Five conferences pending. Now we've also encompassed interpersonal relationships, healthy relationships, and most importantly, the relationship with yourself. Mental health. Take off the mask. Get real. Destroy perfect. Social media and the comparison game is killing us, my friend.
Preach.
It's killing us. Yes. It's killing us. You know, people don't need you to smile in their face. What they need you to do is to take off your mask and get real and say, you know what? I've had my own dark night of the soul. I've been there. I've struggled through this. I came out the other side. Here's what helped me. You know what? Here's another one that's killing us. Therapy and Jesus are things that go hand in hand. Just, I saw somebody the other night on Twitter say, you don't need therapy. You need Jesus. honey, that idea, especially in the Christian world, is a thorn in our side. God put people on this earth that are gifted in therapy and psychology to be able to help us as human beings, be able to listen to us. So, you know, we really have attacked this mental health space, and it has allowed these athletes, not just football players across the country on multiple levels, and then just everyday humans that aren't athletes that are walking the earth to say, wow, she took off the mask, they took off the mask, I can take off the mask and get real. And so, yeah, to the most long-winded answer to your question, but I'm closing out this 17-year career because God has been calling me for a year to run my race, 100,000% changing the narrative, to run with it. And I've been kind of running from him a bit and by calling and saying, oh, God, I can do both. I can do both. And then it became abundantly clear to me that I could not do both well, and that this, that 17-year career was my runway for my jet taking off with changing the narrative to make this a worldwide thing and save lives. And we have already snatched more than a couple of people back from suicide and depression and anxiety and those things, and steered them towards professional help. And so we've made the devil big mad, but we don't really care about that because we're walking, I say we, and the people that helped me at Change the Narrative, we are walking in our faith, and we know that this, I know this is what I'm called to do.
Well, I love how you kick the devil in the gut, and I can, your passion is just, it's inspiring. I got goosebumps listening to you, and what you're talking about is moving on to a new chapter is something that I have so much going on, and I'm trying to maintain and do it all at the same time. And I, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do what you've done. And as we enter a new year, as we enter a new decade, how did you summon that courage to move past all of the accomplishments and what you worked so hard for to move on to a new calling?
Yeah, let me say this to everybody that's going to be listening to this interview. There is a still small voice, and he will come to you through music, through people, through writing, through clouds in the sky, through an accident happening four cars up ahead of you, to, you know, to the people that didn't go into the trade centers because they had a blister or their kids had a dirty diaper. I mean, he will use whatever means necessary. And one of the other things he will use is closed doors. Let me tell you something. The God of the universe will thwart things. You think he opens doors? Let me tell you something. He will slam doors in your face to get your attention.
Wow.
And for 17 years, I loved my career. Do not get me wrong. But there was also a part of it as a female in the sports world where there was a gremlin that lived in the back of my head, and it said, you gotta matter. You gotta tweet. You gotta be relevant. You gotta be on top of it. You gotta be pretty. You gotta be skinny. You gotta be steady more. You're a woman. You gotta work twice as hard to be respected half as much. You gotta say something. I need you to say something. And I'm just being as real as I can be, because I understand and I know that people in other industries feel this same thing that I feel, and it leads to burnout. It leads to people working until they're 60 years old or 70 years old and dying 10 days later, or a year later,
wow,
and never enjoying the fruits of retirement because they feel like they have to run the corporate rat race or the sports casting rat race. And let me tell you something. My soul was tired, my friend. My soul was tired. And I knew from a health perspective, I lost my mom to cancer in May after a 10-month cancer battle, which the doctor said she was so homeopathic and so healthy, she likely had metastatic breast cancer for 6 years before it ever showed itself.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And so, you know, it really, her death woke up and shook me. And I will illustrate this story to you for your listeners. And it doesn't matter who it was, but I had a very famous broadcaster 10 years ago to the day almost around the national championship that reports in NASCAR, NHL, and the college world. We were driving back from a national championship, and he said to me, be careful of your ambitions, girl. And I said, okay. And we were tired. It was from the night before, late national championship, and I just thought I was a little delirious. And he said, I've missed my daughter's recitals. I missed my wife's birthday. He said, be careful of your ambitions. And he said, everybody thinks I have the world by the tail because I report on all of these big, big things. He said, but I've missed a lot and I've sacrificed a lot. And he said, so be careful. And so that has stuck with me my entire life. And all those things to be said, I just wanted to put that message out there. Really, God just got a hold of me, and he kept speaking to me. He spoke to me on airplanes. He spoke to me through scripture. He spoke to me through people who said, you know, when I kind of ran this idea by them, they said, oh, I knew this was coming. I knew this. I just wasn't ready to tell you yet, but I was about to tell you. Or, girl, this is your mission. Girl, you preach this. This is your calling. This is what you were meant to do. So I had people pouring into me, but I had his voice, the Holy Spirit, speaking to me. And one day I wrote out my retirement letter on a plane with tears streaming down my face. I sent it to my agent. Wow. And I said, I don't know how long I can sit on this, but it's coming. And, I was asked, I always say to people to dream big ideas, throw spaghetti against the wall. I asked Minnesota. I've been there three times with Coach Fleck, Big Ten Coach of the Year. I asked if we could host a Changing the Narrative game. They came back to me. That was in August. They came back to me on October 1st and said, we want to do it. We'd like to do it versus Maryland, which is obviously another Big Ten, another Changing the Narrative team.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, we have 3 weeks to do it. So we hosted the first ever Big Ten national game focused around mental health. There are 50,000 programs in that stadium with resources, with numbers to call, with my website. We did a joint PSA with both teams, both head coaches. We had 4 pages on Google, AP, Washington Post, helmet stickers, shirts. It was unreal. And the day after, I flew away to Mexico to go on a healing trip, the last place that my mom and I went on a mother-daughter trip, and I announced my retirement on the airplane. And I said, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done with this because I know what's ahead, and I know that lives are at stake, and this is my calling.
That's amazing. I love the courage, the conviction that you have. Rachel, I always say we're all equal in God's eyes, no matter how rich or poor, famous, anonymous. It's not about what you have. It's about who we are that matters. And I love how you refer to these young men and women, the students and everyone, as kings and queens. How do you really impress upon them? This is a society where there's so much value that we're placing on material stuff and possessions and wealth and accumulating. How do you impress upon them that you are who you are as a person is really far greater, and we all have value in the eyes of our Lord who died for us?
Amen. You know, first of all, I think you hit the nail on the head, and that is the fact that we have to understand when we impress our ideas, when we impress our judgments, when we impress our, well, he should know better, or she should know better, or they should know right and wrong from wrong, or, well, no, honey, you don't know that. You don't know where they came from. You don't know if they ever saw a healthy relationship. You don't know if you saw dad hit mom hit dad. Dad wasn't around, lived with grandmother. You know, so many of these athletes, particularly male athletes, tell me, and I say to them, in these talks to the males, I say, I'm not mad at your granddaddy, and I'm not mad at your granddaddy's granddaddy, your granddaddy's granddaddy's granddaddy, but they have passed down an idea to you, not all, but a lot, that is an idea that's so false and so dangerous that it's killing men across the country. And that is the idea to be masculine and to be strong. You have to man up, suck it up, shut up, stuff it down, and not show your emotions. And because of that, men across the country are wearing masks and they're dying inside. And so we start by saying that and say, to be a real man, to be masculine, to be strong, to be attractive, we need you to be vulnerable, to be real, right? That's what a king does. And I tell him, listen, I want you to be able to look in the mirror and be proud of the man that's staring back at you, not your face, not your, oh, I got to get the nose hairs, I got to trim the ear hairs, does my eyebrows look good, does my hair look good? Yeah, not that soul deep. And so many people, and I'll speak about the queens in a moment, but for so many people, and there was a point in my life, I've lived this. This is my life. I'm not preaching. I'm telling you what I've experienced. There was a point in my life where I couldn't look myself in the mirror because I wasn't proud of the woman that was staring back at me. I had addictions and I had holes in my heart and I was trying to fill them with things of the world. And then God redeemed me and showed me, you are a queen. You are a princess. You were born and made in my image. I knew you and knitted you before you were even in your mother's womb. I love you. Right. And so, you know, we really call them to that. And then you see these scales fall off their eyes. You see, whoa, like I'm a king. I was born for more than to play sports. And then for the women, it's a different message. And I say to them, baby girl, in all the world, the Andes, Kilimanjaro, all the wonders of the world, There is one of you, and there's no one in the world like you. And nobody can accomplish what you can accomplish. Nobody in the world can accomplish. I'm changing the narrative like Rachel Barbeau can. And when you start to see yourself as a queen, when you start to value yourself, when you start to love yourself, have a deep love for yourself, there are naturally standards and boundaries by which you will let people treat you and not treat you. And those things start to fall away that need to fall away. And so when I really get down to brass tacks of who they are, and I call forth the most, listen, I vote for the Heisman. I've hosted the college football playoffs. Done a lot of really neat things, but there is nothing. And I say this emphatically, and I don't have children yet, so that'll probably top it when I have, when I have a child, but, I have some adopted children coming. But there is nothing in the world like watching, like calling a young man a king or a queen and watching them, their soul rise up to it, watching them get it. Watching the scales fall away from their eyes, watching them take hold of their rightful name and their rightful ownership and starting to walk into it. There's a reason why I follow them on Twitter. They follow me back, Instagram, and I always say king with a bunch of crowns or queen, yeah. And they always retweet it because they know in their heart they were created for more. And so it is my honor and my pleasure to call them their rightful name.
Amen. Amen. As a college football analyst, Heisman Trophy voter, all that you've done, you've seen the pressure that is put on these young athletes to perform. And then when they fail, there is so much criticism now, really more than ever, Rachel, because of social media and the platforms that people have to hide anonymously and come at and attack these young athletes. I know you've been outspoken against the trolls. How do you encourage players and young people to avoid getting caught up in the negativity and not allowing that to affect them?
You know, first of all, one of the things I like to do, it's a little funny. I'm a spicy Latina at heart. So sometimes God has to tamp down that spice and that sass. But one of the things I love to do is if somebody says something ugly to me, I'll retweet them and just kill them with kindness. And so, you know, somebody will say, I remember years ago, I was doing a basketball show, and it was my first basketball show of the season coming out of football. And so I was a little nervous. It was a solo show. And I was kind of mixing up my words. And this guy tweeted, and a grown man said, "Who is this girl? She's making up words. She's, you know, she's unlistenable, or she's, you know, terrible." So I retweeted him and I said, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much for listening. And thank you for the kind words. We really love you listening on SiriusXM, you know." And so he ends up following me, and then he ends up saying nice things. And then I see him on a sideline of a football game like a year or two later. He's like, "Hey, Rachel, how are you?" And he's my friend now.
And that's I love what that.
Happens when you just take the sting out of the trolls. Mm. And then I think also, too, you have to just remember, as somebody said to me one time, Rachel, you know, most of these trolls, you've got to recognize how broken and sad they are. Hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And God has to constantly remind me of this because, man, I want to get sassy. That's what my flesh wants to do. Mm-hmm. But he reminds me that the people that are the nastiest and meanest to you are the ones that need us the most. Honestly,
that is so true. Before I let you go, Rachel, you had a Changing the Narrative retreat last August. You have another one upcoming in Nashville in February. Can you tell everyone how they can sign up, who can go to these, what they can expect? Just tell us about it and where they can get more information and if they want to contribute.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing that up, by the way. You know, so for 3 years, I have felt like people have said to me, "Oh, I want to hear your talk in full," or, "Oh, I'd love to. I believe this, you know, changing the narrative for me and my corporation," or, "I'm an adult and I want to, I'm a queen. And so I said, "Well, what if I created a retreat for the common folk, right? For everybody, for every walk of life. And what if we did an intensive weekend?" And so we had the very first one. Let me tell you something, how beautiful God is. The very first one was scheduled for the first weekend of May. My mom died the Wednesday before my first retreat. Wow. And so I had to not only get ready to bury my mother, but cancel a retreat and call people and say, you know, I'm going to have to put it off. And God just said to me in my private time, he said, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. The impact is going to be greater. You just wait, my girl. And so we had our very first one in August, and we had about 15 people, and we came together in Nashville, and it was just amazing. We left best friends. We whiteboarded on future, on our future, on our dreams, on our own personal changing the narrative. We had a psychologist come in. We worked through blocks. We had, I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. We had a private concert of a young woman that's from South Africa that is changing the narrative in the music industry. It was unreal. And so the last one we had, we stayed in a hotel. And this next one, I thought, what if we stay together in a home? And you're not going to believe this, but I got Reba McEntire's old home on the lake in Nashville.
Wow.
So we are all staying in Reba McEntire's home, and there's only about 15 spots left. I purposely have kept it very small, 20 or under, because I want, when it's small, there's intimacy. When they're small, there's dreams. When they're small, there's breakthrough. And so we have this very, you know, unique and an intimate retreat going on the second weekend of February after the Super Bowl. And they can go to imchangingthenarrative.org. That's imchangingthenarrative.org. It's at the top. Hit retreat. There's an application there, and I'll get right back to you. And we have a chef coming in. We're going to do sustainable and organic eating classes. We're going to have workouts. I mean, it's really mind, body, spirit, mission. It's for everybody, from younger people to older people in all stages of life. And so it's a game changer, and it's a beautiful thing, and I've been called to do it. I'm so excited that you let me talk about it for just a moment.
Oh, absolutely. It's imchangingthenarrative.org. Check it out, and I encourage people to follow you on Twitter, because you are one of the most inspiring people out there on social media, and it's at Rachel Barbeau, B-A-R-I-B-E-A-U. Rachel, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Faith on the Field show.
Absolutely. Thanks, friend.
That was SiriusXM host and college football insider Rachel Barbeau. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our episodes since we launched this show in 2017, you can just go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every episode that we've done and listen anytime at your convenience. You can choose by topics, or you can select by the guest that you want to hear. We've had Tony Dungy, Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, Adam Wainwright, Trevor Story, Brian Dawkins, Doug Peterson, Evander Holyfield, LaDainian Tomlinson, and so many more awesome guests. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes, so you can listen to us on your phones, in your cars, wherever. And please take a minute to review and share with your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. Also, make sure to follow us on our personal social media at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're doing. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, is every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Awesome food, great people, entertaining sports talk, prizes, giveaways. Hope to see you guys out there. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our followers, all of our guests. A big thanks to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton, for all his hard work. A huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does for us. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thank you to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.